if we see anything in Scripture and we don't behold that in the light of Christ, we haven't grasped it. We don't know what it is. To the natural man, reading that Moses, the Lord told him, said, I'm going to kill you. You're not going in that land. And took him up on a mountain. Said, you won't enter the promised land. To the natural man, well, that sounds bad, don't it? That couldn't be right. I thought Moses was his man. Oh, he was. He was. He was on that Mount of Transfiguration with him, wasn't he? And there, whenever Paul had preached all through Galatians 2, and he withstood Peter to the face, Galatians 5, and all Acts 15, they traveled up to Jerusalem, preaching the whole way, rejoicing the whole way, against circumcision. Circumcision doesn't profit a man. If you're going to be circumcised, you better keep the whole law. It's the whole Acts 15. And in the beginning of Acts 16, he sees Timothy. And he saw the characteristics of God's preacher in him. He understood that. And he said, Timothy, I want you to go preach with me. Come out back, I'm going to circumcise you. Well, people get turned upside down with that, don't they? It doesn't make sense to us unless the Lord makes it make sense to us. I was going to preach from that this evening, but that's a lot of meat. Like any other meat, you got to cook it a long time. So maybe next week we'll look at Acts 16. But for this evening, let's turn to John 3. We'll finish up John 3. This is when John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. Boy, that doesn't make sense to us either, does it? Not in our flesh, it don't. But I think we'll learn some things tonight. We'll teach us something and then we'll see Christ in it. In John 3, we'll begin there in verse 25. It says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. These people out for debate. They're argumentative religionists. They're wanting to debate about purifying with John's disciples. And we don't know if that was the purifying that was in law or if that was the purifying of their traditions. We don't know what it's saying. But they sought to sow discourse. That was their means. I want to get at you over this, so I'm going to pick on you for something else. I'm going to sow discord. They said, Christ came to you, John. You baptized him. We saw it. And now he's baptizing, and everybody's going to him. Boy, he's doing better than you are. Well, somebody's just baptizing other people, and they're so successful in it. Here's what they couldn't get a hold of. Here's what the Lord hadn't revealed to them. And here's what most of this world does not know. This is the God-man. Almighty God in human flesh. He's baptizing spiritually through the Holy Ghost, and he's using his disciples physically to baptize. He didn't baptize anyone physically on this earth while he was here. We see that in John 4, verse 2, over one page. It says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. That God-man, the Christ, prophesied of the Old Testament, he was baptized. Why? In Matthew 3 we read, then Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Now comest to me, and Jesus answered and said, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John suffered him. John knew what he was talking about right then. I understand. John had to be baptized. Christ was baptized for it. What Christ did, his sheep that are one with him, they did. If we get a hold of that. Isn't that the unsearchable riches? We're made one with him. That's amazing grace. And what his people do by his will and his grace, what he puts in them to do, the good works they perform, it's manifest of God. It's Christ doing it in him. It's working in them. That's what it is. It said in Luke 10:16, he that heareth you, heareth me. When he was sending those 70 out. And he said, he that despiseth you, he really ain't got nothing against you. He despises me. And he that despiseth me despises him that sent me. We're made one with him. Paul wrote to us and said, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." And what does that result in? If I'm an ambassador and I speak only what's given to me to speak from the King, what does that result in? "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Bow to Him. Come to Christ. It says there in verse 26, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." People aren't coming to you anymore, John. And they call him Rabbi, teacher. I could only speculate on the inflection in their voice when they said that. Teacher. Just bitter. And this is your job, John. And they're all going to Christ. That's what you sent to do, wasn't it? When you sent out here in the wilderness to baptize folks, he's doing it. That's your job. They were trying to make John jealous, is what they're doing. They were trying to divide John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the great accuser of the brethren, trying to divide the Lord's people and trying to separate them from Christ. Get them to look to themselves. Get them to look to the world, something else. Turn over to Numbers 11. This isn't new. This isn't something that just happened, started happening. It's been happening for a long time. Look here in Numbers 11. Verse 24. Numbers 11:24 says, "And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake to him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease." Boy, we can learn a lot from that. They were kept to the end. They didn't cease. God's Spirit rested on them. Just as Christ sent out those 70 and he equipped them, that Spirit come off of Moses. And these men, they were called to preach. If a man's truly called to preach, they're called by God, they're enabled by God, and they're sent by God, and the Spirit gives them the word to their people, to his people. Most of the time I don't know what that word is. I'll say something and somebody will come up to me and say, "Boy, that just hit me right in the heart." I was like, "What did?" I didn't know that. I'm experiencing this. I didn't know that. He did. He does, don't he? It says in verse 26, "But there remained two of the men in the camp." They wasn't in another camp. There ain't no other camp. They're in the camp. "And the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them." Not another Spirit, the Spirit. "The Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp." They didn't go up there and preach, for everybody else always preached. They were preaching out in the camp. They were preaching there in the camp, not in the tabernacle where the other ones were. And it says in verse 27, "And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, a servant of Moses, one of his young men," very young man, "answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake?" Do you want them to quit doing that because of me? Are you looking out for me? I'm glad you're looking out for me. Thank you. "But would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. The first thing he did, "Let's go here and preach. I want to get down there. Lord did this. My flesh says, our flesh says, you can't be doing that. You didn't come from the right channels. You better stop it." Moses said, "If God has put his Spirit on them, if he's the one that's done the work, thank God for them. Thank the Lord for them. I pray the Lord gives me that spirit of meekness that he gave Moses. An ability to encourage and support gospel works if I not hear of them. If they're preaching Christ, the Spirit of God's with them, I want to support them. I want people to know about them. Even if they don't do things exactly the way I do." Even if they don't dress just the same way I dress, if they don't observe the Lord's table the way I observe the Lord's table, if they're preaching Christ, if they're sin of God, I want to support them. I want to know of them. Be thankful for them. That was the spirit of Paul too. Did you know that? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. It says in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister. Ephesians 3, 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul's saying it is a great and marvelous grace that I could be numbered with the saints of God. I'm His. I know what I am. I know what He saved me from, and I'm His. That's an amazing grace. That's a marvelous, great grace. And then he says, and that I can preach unto the Gentiles. We've looked at that before. If his brethren of the flesh heard him say that, what are you talking about, Paul? Why are you preaching down there to them lowly Gentiles? He said, well, I get to. It's the grace of God doing it. Turn over one book there to the right in Philippians. Philippians 1. Verse 12. Philippians 1:12 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul was writing this from prison. And the root cause he was in prison wasn't because of trumped up charges. It wasn't because there's this mean religious people that was picking on Paul. The root cause of it, of him being in prison, was the furtherance of the gospel. The Lord put him there. He said, I'm Christ's prisoner. I happen to be in Rome, but I'm his prisoner. And he says, my brethren, my fellow laborers, my fellow ambassadors, they're growing more confident because of this. They're speaking more boldly without fear because I'm in prison. They see a need for preaching. I can't travel like I did. I'm in shackles. I'm on house arrest. And they see the Lord keeping me in prison. They see the Lord still using me to write these epistles in prison. And they trust the Lord. They trust Him. That's a good thing. And I don't want to go to prison, do you? Well, if the Lord blesses it like He blessed Paul, I'm ready to go to prison. That's wonderful. It says in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. I can do better than Paul did. Paul wasn't doing it right. I can do a better job. Paul worded these things. He didn't have his points in good order. I can outdo him. That's what that's saying. That's a poor spirit, though, isn't it? Still preaching Christ. It says in verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? These are two types of men that preach different because they are different. He says, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. They preach Christ, or Paul wouldn't have rejoiced, would he? He said in Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. People argue, I don't know about that. Paul said he rejoiced in it, didn't he? They was preaching the gospel. Maybe they was doing a poor job of it. Maybe they had a sour motive behind it. They're preaching Christ. He said, I rejoice. I want to have that spirit to encourage brethren to know and love the preachers of Christ that I know and love. I know them. I do my best, as I can remember, in the bulletins. If there's another pastor that's still preaching, I put where they are, the city and state they're from in parentheses. I want you to know that. But you know where they're from. Like, where's Tom Harding at? Hold on, I got an old bulletin here. I remember reading an article. Yep, he's in Pikeville, Kentucky. I want you to know them, read them, hear of them. If you're traveling, go see them. You're up in Arkansas. Go. You're up close to Arkansas. Go. That's good. Support. Tell them we love them while you're up there. That's a great thing. Yeah. Brother Paul Mahan has done more for my ministry than any other person that I know of. He sent more people here to hear me preach. And I thought, oh, Paul, tell them to fly to Virginia. You do a much better job than I do. They say he's just like his daddy. Henry was the same way. As the most supportive man of a work, gospel work you could ever find. But it wasn't that's just lineage. They had the same spirit put in them. That's what that is. Our carnal mind and our flesh says, like Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians 3, oh, I'm of Paul. And another says, I'm of Apollos. But that's carnal mind, isn't it? We fall to it. I fall to it. If someone does something different than I do, and they do, or they think I ought to be doing something different than what I'm doing, but if Christ is exalted, I rejoice. They do too. They rejoice in it. Paul said to Philemon, for we have great joy and consolation in our love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. God is blessing his saints through your preaching, Philemon, and I wouldn't have it any other way. We rejoice. We have a great joy. We can read about these things. What will we experience now? A couple weeks ago there in Rescue, our brother James was baptized. I didn't ever cross my mind. I said, well, I ought to have done that. No, I'm wonderful. Yes, that's great. Go listen to it too. Fred Evans preached at Lexington this evening. Then afterwards they have a baptistry there. They baptized one of our sisters. That's wonderful. Good Lord's working. Amen. He's calling out our brethren, isn't he? Marysville, California. Brother Rick's up there preaching. Dawes, Oregon, New Caney, Texas. Yucatan, Mexico. Pikeville, Kentucky, and Papua New Guinea. The Lord has His people. He has His candlesticks all around this world. And I'm tickled to death. There might be more out there. I want to know them. I want to hear them. Now back in our text here in John 3. He says in verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Boy, they're just stabbing John as hard as they can, trying to get their claws in him. And John's going to have a sixfold message for him to those trying to divide. God gave John the spirit and the ability to preach the good news to them. I circled sixfold. Somehow in my notes I got third and fourth mixed up, and there might be five or seven. I don't know. Sixfold message. First one, the Lord is sovereign and right in all things. That's simple, isn't it? I need to hear that. I need to hear it often, several times throughout the day. He says in verse 27, John answered and said, here's his reply, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He's getting more people in the pew, John. He's having more success. And John bowed to the sovereign will of God. Oh, that's a good way to start, isn't it? If the Lord moved me to Russia, and I got to comfort one saint on their deathbed, I lost my citizenship, lost anything I've accumulated in this country, and I got to go to some foreign country that's a communist government, and oh, they're the bad boogeyman, and I got to comfort one of his saints on their deathbed. Sit there and speak to them. Preach a word to them. Oh, what a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. And serving is given of God. That serving, that ministry be given of God. It's right. It's right. People say, well, I don't think that's fair. It don't matter if it's fair, what I think. No matter if I think it's fair. Oh, it's right. It's good. What a privilege that would be. Whatever's given to a saint of God is on purpose, and his name is to be blessed. Anything. Anything. I got a thorn in the flesh. Good. Praise his name. Sing to him. Job said that after he had everything taken from him. And Job had a lot. He was the Elon Musk of that age. He was wealthy. Greatest man of the East. And he said, naked came I of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God took everything from you, Job. Good. Blessed be his name. In saying that, the spirit and attitude that Job was given, we read next, in all this, Job said not, nor charged God foolishly. Job spoke the truth. Well, that was a good work, Job. Nobody would think so, would they? Paul said, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Like you earned it or something. You didn't do that. If I preach a message and it blesses somebody, and they thank me for it, thank you for that message. Boy, I needed that. I needed to hear that. I appreciate that. I can't glory in that. I can only glory in the Lord that gave it and the Lord that blessed it. He was gracious to me and He was gracious to the one listening to it. Somebody comes here and preaches for it. Brother Angus is coming and I think Brother John's will come down and they preach and you're blessed by it. Thank them. Thank them. That was wonderful. Thank you. If it blessed you, tell them. You ain't going to puff them up. They ain't going to get too big for the britches. The Lord will keep them right where He wants them, I promise you. Just like He did John, like He does all His servants. He'll keep them right there. Next, John says here in verse 28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him." He said, "I'm nothing. I'm only a voice. I'm a mouthpiece. I'm an ambassador that speaks what's given for Him to speak." Turn over to chapter 1 there, just a page. The Jews, they sent the priests and the Levites, well, they sent the experts, to ask who John was. You go find out who he is. It says there in verse 20, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I'm not. Art thou a prophet, that prophet? And he said, No. And they said unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" Here's your opportunity to brag, John, tell us all about you. And he said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness." I'm just a voice. I'm a mouthpiece. I thought of saxophone, woodwinds. You take it on a saxophone. I tried playing when I was in middle school. You take that mouthpiece off. Got a little reed in there, woodwind, the reed, and that plastic. That ain't nothing. You can get them, the saxophone's important. You can get them a dime a dozen down at the store, can't you? John said, "I'm a mouthpiece. I'm a voice. That's all I am." Back in our text there, chapter 3. Thirdly, John says, "We rejoice in Christ calling His sheep." That's what you're saying He's doing. He's baptizing. If they believe Him, they're baptized of Him. He said, He's calling out His sheep, and I'm happy about that. His people are too. Verse 29. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." That bride is the Lord's church, His body. The bridegroom, that's Christ. And He hath the bride. Oh, that's something. That means He's always had that bride. He has that bride right now and forever. No matter what, He has that bride. That's His. And if I'm a groomsman, if I'm His friend, He says a friend to sinners, isn't he? Friend lays down his life for the sheep. He's our friend. If he's our friend, we're his. And I get to witness the wedding of his bride. If he's already called me and I get to see him call out one of his sheep, I rejoice greatly. That's wonderful. I get to hear his voice and watch him join himself to his bride. I get to witness that. I get to watch that. That's something. A couple years ago, Ben Moyer, dear friend of mine, he's like my little brother. I love him to death. And his bride, Sarah, she's like my daughter. I love both of them. He said, "Will you be a groomsman at my wedding?" I said, "I sure will be." I didn't have to say nothing. I didn't have to do nothing. I had to get dressed up and show up. That was the last time I saw Brother Angus. He read Scripture. And then Clay married him. I wasn't jealous. Did you know that? I wasn't jealous of Angus. I wasn't jealous of Clay. I wasn't jealous of Ben. I was happy. Wonderful. I was happy more so for him. I was happy for her too. Both of them. I was happy for both of them. Wonderful. Oh, y'all can be good for each other. Look what the Lord joined together. That's great. I wasn't a jealous bone in my body. I was just tickled to death. So this divisive comment. First John says, "No man hath anything unless God's pleased to give it to him." Second, he says, "I'm only a voice. I'm nothing. And it's nothing for me to get puffed up in." I always read that in Numbers 22. The Lord opened the mouth of a donkey and made it talk to Balaam. And used a donkey to make Balaam be the one that says nay. Ain't that something? Thirdly, We rejoice in the work of the Lord, of His saving His people by whatever earthen vessel He's pleased to use. It don't make a difference to me. And fourth, that trend must continue. It's got to continue. He says in verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. If we want to snuff out all of our pride, if we want to snuff out our jealousy and our envy and our hurt feelings whenever we get offended, this truth must reign in our hearts. I must decrease and He must increase. Whatever happens in the Lord's providence, He is all, I'm nothing, and He must be exalted. And no matter how low I get, I must decrease. And no matter how highly of Him I think, He must increase. I don't think highly enough. To those men listening to John, you imagine that? The attitude they come to Him with, and they're hearing Him say this, "You're crazy. What is He talking about?" That just sounds so self-defeating, doesn't it? But if God decreases you, and He increases Christ in your heart, let you see Him high and lifted up, boy, there's peace there. There's peace there. There's comfort there. There's joy there. I tell you what I've seen and what I've heard. I tell you my experience. I tell you the experiences of the believers of good report. I must decrease. He must increase. There's a blessing in that. If that offends a man, that's the offense of Christ, isn't it? The offense of His cross. That's the offense of His glory. That's the offense of His preeminence, of Him being exalted. He spoke there in John 6. He was speaking about Him being the bread of life and His glory to come, His eternal glory. And He says, when Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" We're getting upset that Christ is the one getting all the glory. Are you offended by that? "And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before?" Oh, if just telling you offends you, just telling you makes your blood boil, imagine when you see Him as He is, high and lifted up. Buddy, is this power, His office of prophet, His office of our high priest, His office of King of kings and Lord of lords, does that offend you? It doesn't His sheep. It doesn't His people. We have sung, we sang, we shall sing. He is Lord, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead, He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've heard people have problems with that. That gives me, I got goosebumps all over. That's wonderful. Yes, amen. I must decrease, He must increase. John's going to decrease. He's about to go to jail and die. His head's about to go on a chopping block, isn't it? His service to the Lord is about to end. If I decrease in my person, if I decrease in my view of my ability, if I decrease in my confidence, if I decrease in what I think ought to be done, He will increase. He must increase. What a benefit that'll be. That'll be a benefit to me. That'll be a benefit to you. And that'll be a benefit to His body everywhere. It'll be good. When I'm gone, I'm just a voice. When I'm gone, another voice will be raised up. Maybe I'll preach to that child of God that's going to be a man with a loud voice. What a privilege that'd be. And I'm quickly forgotten. Kevin who? Thatcher or something? That don't matter. Good, forget me. Hear him. There's some loud voices been throughout time, hasn't it? As a man preached to old Brother Spurgeon. Spurgeon was loud. we still read his books and stuff, don't we? Who was that man that preached to him? Don't matter. That man doesn't care either, I promise you. Old Brother Barnard. You know who was that preached to Brother Barnard? I've heard a name, I've heard some rumors. Don't matter who it was it? Another voice came. That's all it was, just a voice. Fifthly, John tells them Christ is all. He says there in verse 31. John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. That's all we are. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth. They don't process it of themselves. They don't receive it of their own accord. His testimony. Someone might say, "Well, I've received Jesus. I've decided for Jesus. It says, no man receiveth his testimony of themselves. We just read that verse 27, didn't we? A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. If Almighty God gives life, if He gives a heart that bows to His sovereignty in all things, and that gifts that I've been given are the nobleman's gifts, like we looked at this morning. That's what it'll declare. I'm only a voice. I'm a new heart that rejoices when Christ truly being honored. An understanding of my need, humbling, and being brought down low to get that manna, having to stoop down to get it, being brought down to the dirt. And that Christ, that manna from heaven, is all and in all. Do you believe those things? Lord brought you to understand that. You believe God. Do you know that? That's right. That's true. I know it is deep in me. You believe God. That's what He says. Look at verse 33. And he that receiveth His testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. What's set to our seal? That means deep down in our bones we know God's true. Every man's a liar. Look at that word. What does that say? Can you explain that? I can't explain it, but I know it's true. Now over here, I can explain that. I can understand this. And that's true. Everything God, John just said to those people, it's absolute truth, isn't it? It says in verse 34, for he, Christ, whom God hath sent, speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Like Peter said, you're the Christ. Everything you say is the word of God because you are God. I know that. It's truth. Everything comes out of your mouth because you are the truth. And we have the Spirit by measure. That's why we pray and ask the Lord's Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to instruct us, give us wisdom, be with us always. We pray for His presence with us more and more. But our Lord did not get it measured to Him. Isn't that something? We have it as He's pleased in His wisdom. It wasn't measured to Christ. He didn't get a helping. He was one with the Spirit. It's His Spirit. He's one with that. Paul said, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Almighty Triune God dwelled in a man that walked this earth, the God-man. Isn't that amazing? Oh, we just enter into that. How'd that happen? I don't know. He did it. I know that. It's sealed in my heart. He's true. That's the truth. Sixth, all of this, the sovereignty, the humbleness, the need, the bowing, the rejoicing, the furtherance of the gospel, the saving of His elect, it's because, it's the root cause of all that, the Father's love for His Son and those that's with Him. Look in verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Loveth, just like hath. That means He has loved the Son, He does love the Son, and He will always love His perfect Son and those to whom that bridegroom's wed. Those that are one with Him. Those that are made one with Him. People say God loves everybody. No. The Father loves the Son and those that are one with Him. That's it. Kevin, I don't think you're right. No, you don't receive me. That's what God's Word says, doesn't it? He loveth the Son. Well, that's... Does that offend you? That doesn't offend me. That's hope. That's assurance, buddy. If I'm in Him, the Father loves Him. And He's accepted. He's already seated on the right hand of God. We're there with Him. We made like Him one day. That's something. And it says He hath given all things into His hand. That children's song is saying He's got the whole world in His hands. I ain't too fond of that. People abuse it. I ought not to be. But do you imagine that? Everything in this world, all of it, every molecule, every electron, neutron, proton, is in His hand. He sustains it. He keeps it. He moves it where He wants to move it. Everything. What if a moon come unglued? Asteroids coming at us. It's in His hand. Every bit of it. All things are in His hand. You think of something. If my shoelace is tied, that's in His hand. What about my pain? What about my joy? It's in His hand. And that's the one that the Father loves. That's something, man. He is who? This is what John's getting at him. It says in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. John Christ is preaching to more people than you are, and his disciples are baptizing more people than you are. He says, good, he's who you must believe to live. Go hear him. Good, go to him. If that's who you can hear, hear him. You can hear John or Peter or any of them. Good, go to them. Go sit underneath them. Hear of Christ. I thought immediately of that as we close, that man that had a son with an unclean spirit. You believe that? You believe everything John said? I do. I believe with everything in me. I forget it sometimes. I get weary and I get doubtful. I believe that. The Lord's put that in me to believe. I'm thankful for it. But I thought of that man with an unclean spirit and a son, and kept throwing him in the fire. And he says, Lord, my son's all scarred up, and if this keeps happening, he's going to burn to death. He's going to kill him. If you're pleased, will you help us? Will you be with us? Will you show compassion to us? Do something about my son, Lord. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that father straightway, he cried out. And it says, he said with tears, earnestly. This ain't a show. This ain't an insurance policy. He cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe you, Lord. I have faith. Grow my faith. I have love in me. Teach me to love. You give me your grace, Lord. Let me grow in grace. I believe you. You're true. That's sealed to my heart. Help my unbelief. I feel like that's all I am. I hope that was a blessing to you. If we decrease, that's decreased pretty good, isn't it? If you know you have unbelief, that's because you believe. Lord, help my unbelief. He will, because he'll be increased. That'll be something. Father, thank you for this hour you've given us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the men of old you've sent, the prophets. Thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for the message that you put in them to preach. Thank you for these men these days, Lord. Those that you've sustained, that you've anointed, you've sent out, that you keep. Lord, keep them to the end. Let them prophesy without ceasing until you take the breath out of them. Thank you for our brethren, Lord. Those that you've called out, those that you've let us witness. Let us see you work in them. Oh, how we rejoice. Thank you for your word, Lord. We believe your word. We believe you, Son. Help our unbelief. Turn our hearts, Lord. Decrease us in our unbelief. Exalt Christ in us and let us believe on him. Thank you for this day, Lord. Forgive us for what we are. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.